The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private. Trust Ireland's leading private hospitals with locations nationwide, including Dublin, Cork and Limerick.
This is News Talk.
There are lots of aviation stories making the headlines this morning. Dublin and Cork airports are in talks about opening pre-departure COVID-19 testing units in the airports. In other news, the region of Dublin has now been designated a risk area by Germany. And then Boeing's grounded 737 MAX. Could it be quite close to flying again? Now, to talk about all of this, retired Lieutenant Colonel and Airport Safety and Security Auditor Kevin Byrne is on the line. Kevin, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, let's talk about Dublin and Cork airports and what is on the cards, because it's not that you rock up to check in and they send you into a room and you get tested, and if you're okay, you fly. It's a little more complicated than that.
I think you have to bring a certificate with you saying that in the last sort of 48 hours, 72 hours, you had actually passed a COVID test and you're completely negative. And that's good in one way, because it gives a confidence to the fellow passengers and the workers in the airport. The complication is, though, I've had two medical procedures recently which required me to have these tests before being entered into the hospital. And the first one cost me €100 and I got the result in 16 hours by text, which was good, except for the €100 because my medical insurance refused to pay it. The second one was included in the total bill for the procedure, so again I was done, but it was very efficient, swab up the nose, etc., and I got the result by text in 12 hours saying you're clear to go into the hospital, no problem, you're very good. But who's going to pay for the cost? It's not easy to do, and I'm not sure if non-hospital settings would be as efficient as was the case in my own case, you know, so it's not quite as easy as it looks at the moment, I think.
Yeah. They are talking about the airports themselves perhaps setting up centres, and if you intended to fly somewhere, that you go to the airport 2 or 3 days in advance, get tested there. So they would certainly trust their own test, the airport people, and that is what might be required.
Yeah, we need something that brings the confidence I mentioned in previous discussions with you. We need people to say, I like to go on flying, I'm happy to go with my family on holidays, or I have to go on business or whatever it might be. The figures are so slow at the moment and so low. For example, last month, August, in the US of A, they're down 70%, even though the business and aviation is still getting back to some system. The numbers flying are very, very small. It's even worse in Europe, and it will remain so.
Now, Kevin, you may have seen the stuff coming out of the CDC suggesting that people are getting infected during air travel, but nothing's very clear. You know, did they get it in the airport? Did they get it when they were sitting next to somebody? It's not clear at all. And it does, of course, inhibit people's appetite for flying.
It does. It muddies the waters a bit. As I said, I was in a hospital recently and the filters used in the operating theatre are exactly the same ones as are used in the aeroplanes themselves. You're sitting in a confined area, admittedly, but you'll have your mask on and the air is filtered in a particular way every 3 or 4 minutes, as it may be. The danger might be mixing in the bar beforehand or squeezing in to get your luggage at the end of the trip, or otherwise not maintaining the distance that Professor Luke O'Neill says we should be doing, and or washing the hands. If you slip on those, you're probably likely to be infected somewhere along the travel, but not probably in the aircraft. Also, the crew on board are very well equipped. They look like people going into a medical facility.
Yeah, I mean, if you're picking up your bags and the baggage handlers handle them, and the baggage handler might be wearing gloves, but then those gloves have handled multiple bags and there might be COVID on some bag. So the hazards are everywhere. You just have to be alert and think about every action that you take. Now, what does it mean for us to be designated a risk area by Germany?
Not good news, I'm afraid. It puts us in the limelight, so to speak. It means that Dublin is regarded as a bit of a dirty Dublin. Now, we would look at that and saying, well, look, if you have to arrive in Germany and prove to them by taking a test that you don't have COVID. Again, where is that done? Who does it? And if you have not got the result, you have to self-isolate. I'm not sure what that means in Germanic terms. I'm pretty sure it's a bit like Romania, where if you're told to lock down for 2 weeks, they come to your door every morning. A police uniform person will come, knock on the door and say, are you here? Are you there? It's not as casual as it is in this country, where they might take your telephone number, they might give you a phone call once or twice. Germany and Middle and Central Europe has got a different attitude to self-isolation than we do here. So I suspect that'll put people off going, certainly for the Christmas markets in Berlin and places like that. Having said that, they also got hotspots, they agree, in places like Munich, so and the border with the Czech Republic. So they have their own problems there, and all we've done is get onto their list of places that are hotspots in terms of numbers.
Now, moving on to the 737 MAX, there is at least one airline planning to put its pilots into those aircraft.
Yes, we discussed that the Federal Aviation Authority and indeed EASA, the Europeans, are moving fast to try and get this aircraft airborne again. As we mentioned, Boeing have hundreds of these parked in their car parks up in Seattle and places like that. They were grounded because 346 people died and they shouldn't have, and they grounded in March 2019 and they're very keen to get back. So with it slipped out yesterday, so to speak, that American Airlines, who have got lots of them on order to replace older models, are going to commence regular pilot training in November, which is really only about 6 weeks away, and with the view to getting all their pilots trained by the end of January 2021, which is very ambitious, I think, and then they want to take deliveries if the Federal Aviation Authority do approve them for flying inside the continental USA and perhaps Hawaii and Alaska. And other airlines such as Southwest and United Airlines, who have others who have large numbers on order as well, they haven't moved yet, but it is certainly a positive move to get the aircraft out of the car parks and back into the air again, although it has complications, as you can imagine.
And Ryanair can't start, I presume, that kind of process until the European aviation authorities give it the green light.
It's got very complex. It's even a little bit more complex than I thought. They had wanted to take their aircraft, of course, you know, last year indeed, and they should have had lots in service now. It's an efficient aircraft. It carries more people. It uses less fuel and it makes less noise. So there's a regular reason for having it there. It's more green, if you want to call it that. But the Europeans will have to be very certain that they're free for operation in European mainland and in other places. But the problem is the European Aviation Safety Agency may not run anymore. Its remit may not run in the UK. The Civil Aviation Authority there may have to certify aircraft for based in the UK. It's a little bit more complex than I thought it might be.
Now, the 737 was in service. That's how the accidents happened that killed so many people. I suspect it might be a bit like if a car, a particular model of a car, keeps going on fire. That pretty soon, you know, there's a recall and every new car that's made eliminates the fault. What would your confidence level be, Kevin, getting on board a 737 MAX?
Well, it'd be very good if the European Union and the Americans get together and the Chinese and the Brazilians and whoever else comes, and the Canadians indeed, come on board and say, look, we've done all these things. I would like it to be to the standard that a regular line pilot has no problem with the emergency procedures. The aircraft only has a problem when there's an emergency, as you can imagine, and they say they have regulated that and eliminated it in terms of software and in physical flying the aircraft. You can do lots of things in the simulator, but these aircraft should have been flown regularly, and they have been flown now, and I think the Americans are about to sign off on it in that regard. The other problem is that, to my surprise, Boeing haven't changed the name of the aircraft. It's still referred to as the Boeing MAX. In fact, I've seen the word Boeing MAX special. So most people, as one low-cost chief executive said, don't actually care what's written on the aircraft once it doesn't say Titanic on the side of the aircraft in paint, you know? So people getting onto the aircraft in a hurry don't really mind. They expect and have faith in the people who maintain the aircraft, design them, fly them, and certify them. So after a month or two of this, it'll be a non-event if the aircraft is fully acceptable for flight purposes.
Now, your air miles are phenomenal because in your work as an auditor and so on, you have to fly the world.
They were.
You're fairly grounded at the moment. But do you know whether you flew a 737 MAX before the crashes?
I did once, actually. I think it was in Malaysia to China or some such place like that. I lose track of them like that. Most aircraft look the same, and I have to say, you know, I'd be embarrassed not to look at the aircraft. I got on what I thought was a 787 in Dublin to go to Hong Kong. It was, in fact, an Airbus A350 when somebody pointed out that's what's written on the safety cards. They said, how can we be in Boeing with an Airbus sticker, you know? So they look the same. People are not upset. They're much more concerned with the cost of the flight and the reliability of the service, and we can put a lot of confidence back into it. However, I think we should do that through a European central system. We can't do it on our own. And there's a lot of fragmentation regarding COVID and its treatment in aviation across the EU, as you've just said. And we need a plan in place to give us something satisfactory by the year 2021, even if it's March or April of next year, because at the moment there's an existential threat in Ireland, certainly, and in Europe, to all elements of aviation. And it's a very serious threat. People are running out of qualifications, running out of their expertise, and it's not going well. So I have a little bit of lack of confidence. I'd have no problem getting on a 737 MAX, but the whole COVID situation needs to be addressed more clearly, in my opinion.
Kevin Byrne, retired Lieutenant Colonel and Airport Safety and Security Auditor, thank you very much.